I'd gotten an inspiration for this verse through a special gift that someone had given me. It was sitting on my desk and had this verse, and I prayed about this, and Lord led me to this verse. We read the context this morning of the verses beginning in verse 6, but I just want to emphasize our key verse tonight and finish what I started with the introduction to the message this morning. If you missed the message this morning, you can make sure and see those folks in the back. They can get you a copy, or you can listen to it on our website or download it on iTunes podcast if you happen to do that, if you have iTunes, and you can download a free podcast and listen to it at any time. One of the great needs I believe that we need in not just our church, not just in our community, not just in our schools, but I believe we have the greatest need to have godly men out there making a difference. And I'm thankful for the men who came forward this morning. This altar was full of men of this church committing themselves to the Lord first, and then also to committing themselves to reach out and make a difference in the lives of the people that come and make up our church family. I'm thankful, as I shared this morning, the testimony that of the influence that godly men had upon my life. And thankful for my dad, for my pastor, and the other men that, and there's just so many that I could mention, but of course I gave mostly the mention this morning to my Sunday school teacher, who still to this day is one of my dearest friends, and I thank God for him. But I want to look at this passage this evening, and I want to bring this together tonight. And I told you this morning there's three things I want to look at in this passage. So let's stand and remind ourselves of this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writing to his son in the faith. Paul giving these words of encouragement to this young man who is going to carry on the ministry after Paul is gone. And he says in verse 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege to stand before your people each and every week and open up your word. I thank you that you have brought into this church family some very godly men. Men who love you. Men who love their families. Men who love the ministry. I thank you, Lord, for those who have participated in many ways today. They've cooked breakfast. They've cleaned up after breakfast. They've taught Sunday school. They've sang in the choir. They helped the youth with the barbecue. They've been here this afternoon leading in Awana. They're here tonight in this evening service. I want to thank you for these men. It's a privilege to be their pastor. It's a privilege to be able to share together in the ministry as we serve the Lord in this place. I'm convinced with all my heart that in this passage tonight you've given something we need to know, something that'll help us. So I pray tonight, Lord, you'll guide us and direct us. Pray that we'll lift up these men in our church and those of us who are men, that you help us, Lord, to be faithful and be obedient to your calling in our lives. This I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So let me give you three things tonight. I told you this morning that I had three things, and you had to come back tonight to get them, right? All right, so you can write these down. Number one, what is it about a man of God that God is looking for in all of us as men? Now, we're not talking about just preachers, okay? Let me just clarify that part tonight. We're not talking about just men who are ordained and who've been to college or seminary. We're talking about every man who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. He is referring here to some things that need to be true in our lives. And so, for you ladies tonight, you wives, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, these are the things you need to pray for the men in your life. For those men that are part of your life, you need to pray that these are the things that are true of them. Number one, notice in verse 11, in our text, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee from these things." Now notice I gave you the word number one, flee, and I put it in all caps. F-L-E-E. That means you run like crazy to get away from them. That's exactly what it means. Now, what are the things he's talking about? He's referring to the things back up that we read this morning, verses 9 and 10. He says, "They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after they've erred from the faith, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But man of God, flee these things." Paul is reminding Timothy, there is something out there that will tempt you, that will hurt you, and that will cause you to do very destructive things in your life, and that is called the love of money. Now, we all like money. I mean, we need money to make do. We got to pay bills. We got to raise our families. We like to go on trips. We like to buy stuff that we want for our kids. We like to buy stuff we want for us. I mean, so there's money. And the Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. And I've heard people misquote this verse. They say money is the root of all evil. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not money. Money's not the root of all evil. Because these pieces of green paper that are down here in this plate that we took up tonight, you know, they got pictures of presidents or some other famous men and everything else. That green paper, if we don't touch it, and if we leave it right there, you know what? Next Sunday, it'll still be laying right there. Do you know that? So that money can't do anything to it. It is the love of that money that will destroy you. It is the love of that. He says in verses up before this, he says to be content. Contentment and godliness is great gain. We brought nothing in this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And you know, there are so many men tonight who destroy their families, who neglect God in their relationship with God, who do so many things just because of the love of money. They work. They scheme to try to get more, and they try to keep up with not just the Joneses, but the others on their street. And what happens is they end up destroying their families and themselves because of the love of money. Money will ruin people. I don't know, you probably saw the news like I did when I was turning it on, trying to get the weather forecast the other night, and the big lottery was up to the highest it's ever been the other night, you know. And they were just people flooding convenience stores and stations and places that sell tickets, and people were trying to find ways of where they could get a, you know, part of that and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? My heart broke because I was preparing for this message. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy to run from. You run from that love of money. It will destroy you. You say, but if I had more money, I'd be happy. I got news for you. If you think money makes you happy, you will never be happy enough. Because you'll never have enough. Some of the men who were the richest men in all the world, men who were well-known and famous for their money, died miserable and broken. Their own personal testimonies were that they would give up all of their wealth to have family, to have love, to have something to have faith in. You say, preacher, does that mean we ought to just live poor and everything else? No, but just be content with what God's given you. It's okay to want the best. It's okay to work hard and save up. I believe the Bible teaches us all of those things. But if all that you care about is the love of money, if that's what drives you, you will always find yourself falling short and being happy. Because it tells us here that you brought nothing into this world. And my dear brother, funeral director, retired funeral director, Brother Bill, will tell you, you can't take it with you when you leave. He's never hooked up a U-Haul trailer to the back of the hearse and carried people to the cemetery. Have you, Bill? Never done that. Can't do it. You can't take it with you. You cannot take it with you. And so what Paul is telling us, if we're going to be men of God, then we must flee from that temptation for that love of that wealth, for those things. And you think, well, if I had more money, I could do more with it. You see there in verse 10, it is that love of money, that which is the root of all evil, that calls some to err from the faith and pierce themselves with many sorrows. I sat down one night and I was sitting in the presence of one of the richest men that I'd ever met up until that time. And he sat there and he had the look of dread and brokenness in his heart and his face. And I thought, man, it's pretty cool to meet this real famous person who was real wealthy. And you know, the whole time we were there, all he ever talked about was how he could make more, how he didn't have enough, how he needed to get more. And I'm sitting there going, dude, you make more on interest than I make in a year. And yet he was miserable. He couldn't stand it because he didn't have something else that he wanted. Don't let that be part of your life. So Paul says, first of all, to be the man of God we need to be, we need to flee from those temptations. We need to flee from those things. Number two, he said also, he said in this verse, in verse 11, he said that we're to follow some things. So if we're to flee, that means run like crazy, get away from that, then there are some things we need to follow after. Notice this. He says, follow after, and he gives us a list of things. We're not going to go in detail all these things, but look at this list. Follow after righteousness. Listen, men, do what's right no matter what. Do what's right. Put God first in every area of your life. Righteousness. You're going to be tempted to do wrong. You're going to be tempted to do things you know are contrary to the Word of God. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Let your life be known as a godly man. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. That doesn't matter. Some of the most godly men I know have never preached a sermon. Some of the most godly men I know have never sung a song. Some of the most godly men I know are just men who love Jesus and follow after that in his life. Follow after faith. Follow after faith. Trust God with everything in your life. Trust God with every need that you have. Follow after love. Love your family. Love your Lord. Love your church. Love the ministry. Love those things. Follow after patience. Well, that's the one we all need to work on, isn't it? Patience. We need to be patient with ourselves. And yes, we need to learn to be patient with others. Well, that's a hard one right there. That's a hard one. And we need to follow after that. Be patient. And then follow after meekness. You know, that's the opposite of pride. It's real easy for men these days to try to feel like we're outdoing somebody else. You know how it is. I went hunting and I got one this big, I went fishing and it was this long, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And that's not just hunters and fishermen. Hey, be careful. Be careful how you try to present yourself to others. Remind yourself of something, folks. You're just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. You're just a sinner saved by grace. If it were not for the grace of God, there's no telling where you'd be tonight. And so what you need to remind yourself is that God has given you an opportunity to serve Him. He's blessed you. He's given you all the things that He's given you. And you need to be thankful and patient and loving and caring and faithfulness in every area of your life. Think of this, guys. If someone were to write your life story, what would they write? Think about that for just a minute. How would people who you work with, people who you live with as your family, people that you go to school with, how would those people describe your life? It's kind of scary when you think about it. You know, how would they really describe you? We need to live and follow these things in verse 11 so that God is honored and glorified in every area of our lives. Now, young people, these teenagers, these young people who are here tonight, understand this. These men who are sitting in this church, we've made our mistakes. Amen. Yeah. Everybody with me on that? We've made some mistakes in our lives. We're not perfect. Amen? That's right. We've many of them. And we'll still make some more. So we're not perfect. And we don't claim to be. But one thing is, guys, we want you to understand that you can be a man of God and live for God and serve Him, and you don't have to be perfect. You just ask God to help you every step of the way. That's where you follow after these things. Notice lastly, number three. Not only flee, not only follow, but notice he says in verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, he didn't say fight each other. All right, let's go ahead and clear that up. He didn't say fight other brothers and sisters. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul compares living the Christian life in other parts of his writing to Timothy as being a soldier. You see, living for Jesus Christ in an evil, difficult, dark world, it's a fight. It's not easy. There are temptations that even some of you don't even know about. In fact, some of us older folks that are older than you cannot imagine some of the temptations even you deal with in your life. But listen, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any easier. And what you need to understand is that the devil will try to mess your life up. Can I tell you, senior adults, God knows that the devil wants to mess you up. You don't have to be a teenager to be tempted. You could be a senior adult and be tempted. And the devil would like nothing more than to cause a disparaging mark on the name of Christ and the name of the church by having someone fall into some terrible sin. That's why we got to fight. There's a fight that's going on. It's a spiritual battle. That's why Paul tells us in other places to take on the armor of God and to fight and stand true for the faith. You know, we just need men who are willing to stand up and do what's right for God no matter what. And there are going to be times when the people at work are going to make fun of you. People at school are going to make fun of you. People on your job, people in your area of community, maybe even some in your own family are even going to question your sanity sometimes because you're standing for something that's right. You need to stand. And you need to fight. And you need to fight the devil, fight the things that are trying to damage your family, things that are trying to damage your church. I mean, we need to fight against these things. You know how you fight the things? Two ways. Number one, you fight on your knees. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
You fight on your knees. You stay in prayer, relationship with God. Secondly, you fight with the Word of God in your hand and in your heart. You can't fight it on your own. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, how did Jesus respond to the devil's temptations? Every single time he quoted the Word of God to the devil and resisted the temptation. And what did the devil do? The devil left him alone. That's the way you have to do it. The way you fight the good fight of faith is to do it on your knees, and you do it with the Word of God. Let me just tell you something, fellas. Your family's worth the fight. Your wives are worth the fight. Your children are worth the fight. This church is worth the fight. Your church family is worth the fight. So don't allow anything to come between you and your relationship with God and not stand in the fight. Because we need to fight the good fight of faith. Now let me conclude with this. Last part of verse 12. He says, Paul tells Timothy, as you do this, he says, lay hold on eternal life. You know what that means? That means be reminded that you've got something better to look forward to than anything you got in this life. Better than you think you need that latest and newest technological device, God's got something better waiting for you on the other side. And oh, what's waiting for those who are faithful and serving, the rewards that wait for us, who are called and shared together in this fight of faith. We've got something wonderful waiting for us on the other side. You see, Jesus didn't leave us in this world to say, get all you can get, go for the gusto, grab it by the horns, and live it up, because this is all you're going to get. No. He tells us, he said, I got something so good waiting for you on the other side. I got something called crowns of rewards. They're crowns of rejoicing. In fact, the Bible tells us that the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart and mind of man, what God has prepared for those who love Him.
Amen.
Think about this just a moment. Anything you can get in this life, anything you can think about in this life, God says, I got it better waiting for you on the other side.
Amen.
Think about that. So you know what? That should encourage us tonight, knowing that we don't have to live by the world's standards. We don't have to live by the world's philosophies. We don't have to live by what the world says we've got to have in order to be a man. We live by what God says to do to be a man of God. And let me tell you something, fellas. As I said this morning, the opportunities we have to make a difference in the generation coming behind us, those rewards are eternal. Imagine the influences of lives that we can be for God each and every week. I challenged you this morning, men, and remind you again. Ask God to help you find somebody to be a ministry and a help and a mentor to this year. Ask God to help you to reach out and be a blessing. Some of you like to do different things and activities and hobbies in your life. Make some of these young folks part of that. Have an opportunity for influence and direction in their lives. You see, Timothy was having that same kind of influence. It was being influenced, by Paul. Paul was mentoring this young man to carry on the gospel. Scripture tells us we've got two books named after Timothy. Church history tells us that Timothy went on to be a great minister for God. In fact, he became a martyr and gave his life as a martyr for the cause of Christ. I don't believe he would have done that if it hadn't been the influence of the Apostle Paul. He never could have done the things he needed to do for God if it hadn't been somebody teaching him, guiding him, and directing him. You see, you think that, well, preacher, I don't preach. I can't do it. I don't teach a Sunday school class. I can't sing in the choir. I can't play an instrument. That's okay. But there's so many other things that God's given you an opportunity to do. So many other gifts and talents and abilities. And you can use that to influence the generation coming behind us. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. We're going to sing the song we did this morning for invitation, Jeannie. I have decided to follow Jesus. This invitation is twofold tonight. Number one, as I challenged you men this morning, to make that decision. Many of you, you stood at this altar and we stood together arm in arm and committed together to be the men of God that we need to be. I want to encourage you in that. But there's also the other part of this, and I'm speaking now to the ladies in this group. I'm speaking to the young people in this group. Those whose you saw your dad or granddad, maybe your uncle, maybe your Sunday school teacher or youth leader stand at the altar this morning. Those of you ladies, you saw your husband or son or even grandson stand here this morning and make a commitment to God. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. You see, there's a little secret. Guys don't want you to know this, ladies, but we can't do this by ourselves. We can't. We need the support, the love, and the prayers of some godly women. Our wives, our daughters, our mothers. We need the support of these young people who are our teenagers and our young people in our lives. Because there are some days it's hard. There are some days we just might want to quit. There are some days we just want to give up. So tonight I'm asking those ladies, those moms, those wives, I'm asking those teenagers, those young people, that those of you that saw your dad or granddad or husband or brother or uncle or whoever it might have been stand at this altar this morning, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to God tonight. Say, God, I'm going to support them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to encourage them to be the men of God they need to be. I invite you to stand right where you are. And with every head bowed and every head closed, I want to pray for you. And ladies, I'm going to ask you to do something I asked the men to do this morning. I'm going to ask every mom, every wife, every daughter. I'm going to ask every young person that saw your dad or uncle or granddad come to this altar this morning. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. You just come and stand. We'll pray together as we sing this song. And let's come together as a church. Let's be the church God would have us to be. Father, I pray now, help us, Lord, to follow you, to flee the things that would cause destruction in our lives, to follow after these godly spiritual traits, and fight the good fight of faith. And Lord, as we lay hold on eternal life, knowing that we've got something better waiting for us on the other side, I pray, Lord, that women and wives and daughters and mothers will step out this morning, like the men stepped out this morning, these wives will step out tonight. Come down to this altar and pray for their husbands, pray for their sons, pray for their grandsons, pray for those in their lives. I pray for all these teenagers to join me at this altar tonight as well. And pray for their dads and their uncles and their grandfathers. And Lord, let us be the people of God you'd have us to be. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. We're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow You, 602.